How do you do? Here's a riddle for you. How could the strongest man in the world lift others while he himself was being carried wherever he went? Well, the answer lay in the extraordinary strength that came when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, true life stories of people set free from the chains of darkness, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Unless you've slept on the ground night after night, keeping warm however possible, you can't appreciate how good it is to sleep in a clean bed, safe from all intruders. And that's why the doors never close at Pacific Garden Mission. The homeless are offered every kind of help, including food, clothing, medical and dental care, classes and counseling. Often, men and women also receive the gift of new life at the old lighthouse. But sometimes, change comes very slowly, or seemingly not at all. Even so, folks at Pacific Garden Mission never give up on them. They know what it means to be rescued, like the man in this story. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2521 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Mr. and Mrs. Anderson, your son has Bright's disease.
Bright's disease? What's that?
Chronic inflammation of the kidneys.
Well, is there a treatment?
No. And even if he pulls through now, this kind of problem in childhood generally leads to renal failure later in life.
How much later?
Well, with care, his kidneys could last until he's 18.
Oh, dear Lord, this is our only son.
I'm sorry.
What are we going to do, Ethel? Our little boy?
We're going to pray, Bob. Nothing is too hard for the Lord.
The year was 1938 when that five-year-old boy lay near death in a hospital in Georgia. There was no indication then that he would one day hold the title of strongest man in the world, a title that has remained with him, or that one day he would be received by presidents and kings. This is the story of how he gained and used his strength. The true story of Paul Anderson right now on Unshackled.
After I recovered from my illness, my childhood was normal. But Mama always said, it was the prayers of many people that saved me. I grew up in Toccoa, Georgia, with an older sister who would one day risk her life to save mine. Julius, my sister's husband, got me interested in weightlifting when I was a freshman in high school because I was so small. Well, I soon outgrew his weights, but barbells were hard to come by in those days, so we went to the junkyard.
Yeah, well, I reckon we can use this axle for bar. Now, we need something heavy to hang on the ends.
Oh, hey, Julius, what about those big steel tractor wheels?
Oh, they are awful big, Paul.
Hey, well, I'm really strong, look. I've been drinking gallons of milk.
Well, maybe if you start with smaller weights and work your way up. Like these barrels. Yeah, now, I could pour concrete into them and make each one a little bigger, a little heavier.
Okay, well, I sure am lucky Daddy taught me so much about construction.
Well, building dams is not exactly like building bodies.
My body developed exceptionally well, so I played football in high school well enough to get a college scholarship. But I came home from Christmas vacation that first year, and, well, I didn't go back. I wasn't sure what to do with my life, but I kept working out using the only exercise I knew, the deep knee bend. Mama and Daddy had moved to Tennessee with his job, so I went there and told them my plans.
You want to be a weightlifter?
You're not going to go back to college, Paul?
Well, no. Not now, anyhow. Look, I'm strong, Daddy. I realized while I was there I can lift more weights than anybody. I know this is what I was meant to do.
But
hey, do you know Bob Peoples?
Well, he holds the world's record in the deadlift.
Right, 725 pounds. Well, my friends took me to his place, and I used his weights to do that full squat twice with 600 pounds. Man, he was shocked.
Well, you are strong, son, no doubt about it.
How much do you weigh now?
275 pounds.
All muscle.
Oh.
Bob thinks I can beat all the records. He's teaching me how to warm up and build strength.
Well, we're behind you, son.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's hard work, Daddy. I mean, there's no getting around that. You got to work hard.
God will bless your diligence, Pa.
I broke all Tennessee state records my first meet in Chattanooga and was training for the world championships when I had my first setback. I damaged my leg during a workout. As soon as my injured leg was strong enough, I exercised furiously, preparing for competition in Philadelphia. There, as I lifted a record 350 pounds, my foot slipped and a bar snapped my wrist.
What are you doing to your cast, Pa?
I'm just modifying it. You see, I've seen how arms look when they come out of a cast, and I got to keep exercising this arm, you know, keep the blood circulating.
With a broken wrist?
Well, I made a brace that attaches to the cast so I can keep on lifting. There we go. I'm going to have a machine shop build it out of steel for me.
You are the most determined young man I've ever known.
I'm stronger than any man on earth, Mama. And it's frustrating that nobody knows it. All I need is one chance to prove what I can do. Just one.
I think the Lord lets us go through trials to test our commitment and build patience. Your day will come.
And I'm going to be ready when it does. I can lift 500 pounds easy. I'll show them.
You know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, "The hand of the diligent shall rule." And you're diligent, Paul.
Mama and her parents were the ones in the family who always talked about God. I grew up attending church and tried to live right, but my passion was weightlifting. When my arm was back to normal, I was stronger than ever, eager to attend the 1954 World Games in Vienna. Along came another setback. This time I was with friends when their car crashed in the rain.
The doc says you broke some ribs, son.
Yeah, I think my hip's injured, too. The x-ray machine's not strong enough to tell, so I gotta go to Atlanta for x-rays.
Well, what happened?
Well, he went to pass a car and started hydroplaning. All of a sudden, we were spinning right through a barbed wire fence and wham, right into a tree.
It could have been worse, Pa. God was with you.
Yeah, but there goes my chance to compete in Vienna next month.
Well, you'll be back on your feet in no time. Remember how fast you healed after you broke your wrist?
Yeah, I know. I just wonder if I'll ever get the chance to prove how strong I am.
Just keep your faith, Pa. Someday you'll lift 1,000 pounds.
I was discouraged, but not a quitter, and slowly got back into shape. During 1954, I entered more contests and broke more records. Offers began pouring in, and agents hounded me to become a professional strongman. I remained an amateur, so I could compete for the world championship. When I heard about the U.S. weightlifting team going to Russia, I called the coach.
Paul Anderson. Yeah, I heard something about you.
I'd like to go with the team to Russia this fall.
Shemansky wants to go. And he's a U.S. champion, so I figure he's entitled.
I can lift more than he can.
Yeah, well, I've heard that, but we've never seen you produce. Look, you need to demonstrate your stuff in a qualified meet.
I haven't had a chance yet because of injuries. But I'm competing in the national championships at Cleveland.
We're leaving for Russia the day after that.
All right, well, what if I do well there and beat Shemansky?
Yeah, it's still up to him. If he wants to go, he goes.
How frustrating. I was 21 years old, anxious to prove I could break existing records, and determined not to give up. But by then, I weighed more than 300 pounds, had 36-inch thighs and a 24-inch neck. I knew I could beat anybody, so I got my passport and prepared for the national championship meet.
Hello?
Mama, I won!
I heard it on the news, Paul. I knew you could do it.
I broke Shemansky's record in all three lifts.
Praise.
Hey, I'm going to Russia with the team.
Oh, wait till your father hears about that.
Weightlifting's a national sport in Russia, Mama. No one has ever beat them.
You will. God gave you this opportunity for a reason, Paul. We'll be praying for you.
In spite of a drenching rain, thousands of Russians gathered in Gorky Park for the weightlifting meet. I didn't even have a uniform because of the last-minute decision to let me go with the team. And because of my huge size, I was treated as a joke.
The Russian strongman lifted 330 pounds. Then it was my turn.
You're up, Paul. How about it?
There's not enough weight in the bar, Coach. Tell them to add more weights. I want 402 and a half pounds.
That much?
Yes, sir.
I'll tell
them. Hey, use your chalk, Paul. How about a stamp? Hard to dust your hands. Wow, listen to the crowd. The Russians think all that weight's a joke.
Well, they'll see.
Okay. Come on, Paul. Come on, Paul. You can do it, man. Come on. Come on. Oh, what happened?
I forgot to wipe the bar and it slipped.
Look, look, take your time, Paul. Make the second one good.
Right. Come on, show what you made of, Paul. Come on. He's got it. He's got it. Yes. All right. Yes. Yeah. All right.
Hey, Coach, what did he say?
He's a wonder of nature. The strongest man who ever lived.
Yeah. My victory over the Russians was a major news story in the sports world. An unknown kid from a small town in Georgia suddenly breaking records. For the next year, I was a guest on many TV shows where I gave credit to my diet, exercise program, and the American way of life. But never to God for my success. I trained hard for the 1956 Olympics, and we arrived in Melbourne, Australia, 18 days before the competition. Right away, I developed a fever from an inner ear infection.
Your temperature is still too high, Paul. We can't get it down.
Oh, don't send me back to the States, Doc. I came here to win the gold.
You've been sick for 12 days now. You've lost more than 30 pounds. How can you lift weights?
I'll get better.
All right. But if we think you shouldn't lift, the decision will be final.
I began secretly gobbling aspirins every 3 hours until my temperature was nearly normal. I looked and felt terrible. But the doctors let me dress for the competition that dragged on well past midnight. I was extremely dizzy as I waited at 1 o'clock in the morning for my turn to lift. The aspirins had long since worn off by the time I made my first attempt at the press, barely lifting my warm-up weight. At the snatch, I did no better. So I was far behind going into the final event, the clean and jerk.
Sorry to have to tell you this, Paul, but to win, you'll have to lift 414 and a half pounds. That's an Olympic record. But you need it to make up for your first two lifts.
I can do it.
We'll only tie Silvetti, but it'll give you the victory because you now weigh 12 pounds less than he does.
Give me the chalk.
Come on, Paul. You can do it. We know you can do it, man. Come on. Come on. Never say die, Paul. You can do it. Come on, buddy.
Leave me alone. I lifted the bar to my chest, but there was no way I could get it past my chin. I moaned in defeat as the second attempt, like the first, crashed to the floor. I had one more chance, but there was no way I could lift that weight over my head. The first time in my life, I was losing. I had 3 minutes to decide if I should just concede defeat.
In a moment, we'll hear how those 3 minutes were a turning point in Paul's life. Homeless men who come to Pacific Garden Mission are tired of fighting a losing battle with the world, but they don't know how to change. That's where the men's division at the mission is able to help. Through classes, Bible study, and individual counseling, these men develop new attitudes and skills. They learn to take responsibility for their lives, to be on time, and to work diligently on a job, to resist temptation, to help one another through difficult times, to bear one another's burdens in prayer. For many men, this kind of brotherly love is a new experience, one that begins with the first step of new life, one that continues with each new step of faith. It takes a real man to walk that way, but that's what the men's division is all about, sending forth real men. To learn more about this ministry, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
The arena was silent as I chucked up for my third and final try. When I pulled the weight to my chest in the clean portion of the lift, I knew it was hopeless. I couldn't push it overhead. Desperate, I lifted my first ever truly sincere prayer to God. You've given me everything, and I've returned nothing. I know you've made me special, and I've not given you credit. I want to be part of your kingdom. And from here on out, I'm making a real commitment. I'm not trying to make a deal, God, but I need your help to get this weight up.
You did it! You won the gold, Paul! You won the gold!
Whoa. It was God's strength that pulled me through that night, and I knew it. But it took me a while to acknowledge what he had done. I returned home a hero, recognized by my size and because millions had watched newsreels at movie theaters and listened on the radio to the Olympics. I appeared on numerous television shows and had more offers than I could handle. As I became a professional strongman, God began to give me a vision of how to use the strength he had given me.
Well, that carousel lift you did on the Ed Sullivan show the other night, it's quite amazing, Paul.
Yeah, the audience loved it, huh?
I don't know how you do it without even warming up. You're a modern-day Samson.
I know, and I don't think the Lord wants me to go on like this, entertaining people. I know he wants me to do more.
What's on your mind, Paul?
Well, Dad, I've given lots of demonstrations in prisons and detention homes now, and it's heartbreaking. Those boys are locked up with hardened criminals for minor offenses.
Well, how can you help them?
Well, they listen to me because they respect power and strength. So I tell them about Jesus and what he did for me at the Olympics and what he'll do for them if they'll just turn their lives over to him.
Well, that's true, son.
And I got to thinking, now what if I built a home for troubled boys where they could learn about Christ and form new habits, you know, new attitudes? Maybe we could turn them around before it's too late.
Uh-huh. Well, if anyone can do it, Paul, you can.
In 1957, I made the Guinness Book of World Records for the most weight lifted ever. More than 6,200 pounds. No one has ever come close to that. The trouble is, I didn't get around to opening the youth home and might not have done so if it hadn't been for Glenda.
A home for troubled young people, I think it's a tremendous idea.
Well, I'd be a strong father figure to those kids.
You'd really inspire them, Paul.
I'm embarrassed that I've waited so long. I mean, God gave me the vision 3 years ago, right after the Olympics, and all I've done is talk about it.
Well, it's easy to get sidetracked. Satan's good at distracting us.
That's exactly what happened, Linda. I have the dream, just didn't know where to begin.
Well, now, if you really commit yourself to this, God will open the right door.
Would you like to help me, Glenda?
I'd love to be part of your life's work, Paul. Well, as soon as I finish nursing school.
I love you, Glenda. Never mind the nursing school. Let's get married right away. After Glenda and I were married in the fall of 1959, I began performing in more churches and schools, speaking out for Christ. Because I traveled so much, we lived in a little motel in Vidalia, Georgia. One night in 1961, the sheriff called.
Now, Paul, I wonder if you could help me out.
What's up, Sheriff?
Well, I have two little girls here, 8 and 12 years old. Their mother's been trying to sell the older one into prostitution.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, hard to believe in it. Now, could you take them in for a spell? They need a good home, and you've talked about helping kids like that.
Well, we're just living in a motel ourselves, Sheriff.
Yeah, I know, but it's got to be better than the situation they're in.
Okay, bring them over. We'd love to have them. Being foster parents to those two girls was the beginning of our ministry. We rented a 2-story house big enough to take in more youngsters, and in 1966, we adopted our daughter and named her Paula. With assistance from some dedicated friends and acquaintances, we moved into a bigger house, taking in as many as 19 boys, ages 16 to 21. I continued raising support through my speaking engagements and weightlifting demonstrations, so I was gone a lot, but I always tried to be a father to our boys, giving discipline and love. Well, looks like you've about finished digging that ditch, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you call Glenda and me by our first names. We're family here. But any other adult, you should address by their surname.
Yes, sir.
Now, look, I want you to know, Tom,
And we love you. And we want to give you a chance for a better life. Now, punishment for rebellion begins with physical work, like digging that ditch. Okay?
Yes, sir.
I expect you to study and keep your grades up, or you'll go on restriction. Now, would you like to talk about why you punched Gary?
Well, he called me a name.
Tom, learn to control your temper, no matter what anyone says to you. The Bible says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty.
But Mr. Briggs says...
Whose name is on that sign out front?
Paul Anderson.
That's right. My name. And what I say goes. And we follow God around here. You hear?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'll give you another verse to think about. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that includes controlling your temper. Any questions?
No, sir.
Jesus calls us to be peacemakers, Tom. To live at peace with one another. And you think you can do that?
I'll try.
All right. Come on inside now and get clean up for supper.
You traveled all over the world, didn't you, Paul?
When I was a goodwill ambassador, I went all over Europe and the Middle East. I've met the Shah of Iran, President Bush, and all kinds of leaders.
Wow. What's it like to meet so many famous people?
It was interesting, but it doesn't compare with meeting the Lord Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
He's the one that matters. Now, if you don't know him, you're nobody.
But if you know him personally, then you're a child of God.
That's right. Jesus said, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and mother.
But how do you know the will of God?
Read the Bible. It's all laid out in there.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Oh, there's so much in the Bible. Where do you begin?
With Christ. God sent his son to die for you and me, to pay for our sins.
Uh-huh.
The will of God, first of all, is that every person receive him as Savior and Lord. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
It's something you do every day, Tom, to come to God in prayer through Christ.
Look, I can't get through one day without Jesus Christ. And if I, the strongest man in the world, can't live without Christ, what about you? I had learned that lifting weights was not as big a challenge as lifting the lives of troubled teenagers. How I love to share Christ with them. In the late 70s, I eased up on demonstrating my strength because my hips began to bother me from the car accident years before. Then in the early 80s, I began to suffer nausea and excruciating pains from kidney stones. I was hospitalized for surgery several times.
How are you doing, Paul?
Better, now that you're here.
You look wonderful to me.
You're not anxious, are you?
I just wish you didn't have to endure so much pain.
Oh, honey, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future now, don't we?
Yes.
Hey, how's Paula doing?
Well, she prays that God won't take her daddy. She believes God will use you because you love Jesus.
Glenda, you've got to help her understand that whatever God does is for the best. He doesn't always choose to give healing.
Oh, Paul.
Hey, now. I'm not going yet. Pretty emaciated, but I'm still fighting.
Emaciated? You're bigger than anyone in the entire South. How can you call yourself emaciated?
Now, that's better. I like to see you smile. So does the Lord. You keep thinking about his promises, you hear?
I will, Paul.
Remember, he promised to never leave us or forsake us.
Doctors told me Paul had end-stage renal failure. Emergency hemodialysis was followed by one medical crisis after another, including severe pneumonia. Medication destroyed the nerve endings in his ears, and he often fell. His weight went down to 160 pounds, but his faith was not shaken. In 1983, his sister donated one of her kidneys for a transplant operation, which was successful. But he was forced to use a wheelchair in spite of two hip replacements. My wonderful husband continued to exercise, and his faith never wavered.
You're 99.
100. Oh.
Don't push yourself too hard, Paul.
You have to give the good fight, honey.
No. Do you feel up to an interview? Some reporters are here.
Oh, really? Well, send them in. Never miss a chance to tell the world about Jesus.
Y'all can come in to see him now.
All right, well, let me tell you something right away, guys. You're looking at the world's strongest man, but only because of Jesus. He's my rock, in him I live and move and have my being. I don't have long, and I know it. After I'm gone, this is what I want you to remember. Don't you weep for Paul Anderson. He's not dead. He's gone to live with God. He can't live in this tired old vehicle anymore.
Paul, the gentle giant, went to be with the Lord on August 15, 1994. He was buried on the grounds of our beloved youth home, where young men still learn to walk with God.
Listening friend, are you walking with God? Only the Lord Jesus Christ gives you that right. Only his death on the cross provides atonement for sin. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 tell us, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Come into God's kingdom right now by praying with us. Lord, I come to you with nothing, a sinner asking forgiveness. I believe you sent Jesus to die for my sins. Thank you, Lord. I believe you raised him to life by the power of your Holy Spirit. Save me, Lord, that I may know you and follow you. Thank you for your gift of life. Amen. Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 tell us, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Rejoice and let us know so we can send you some literature. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2521. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. A letter from you would make our day, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Do you feel trapped? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.